Welcome to the Global Gaming Business Podcast, the industry's first and longest running podcast, now in our 18th year. I'm Roger Gross, the publisher of GGB, and today's podcast is sponsored by Pavilion Payments, the industry's leading cashless payment provider. Our guest today is Spanky, one of the most successful sharp bettors in the country, but one who usually gets his action offshore since he's known as a consistent winner in the U.S. The life of a professional gambler can be very complicated now that sports betting is legal in the U.S. Once a sportsbook or online casino labels a sharp bettor, they impose rules and limits that make it impossible for the sharp bettor to win any substantial amount on their platforms. Spanky, a sharp bettor based in New Jersey, has a team of analysts that look at all contests and decide which ones are beatable. Spanky's clients then get their recommendations, and Spanky himself decides on the bets that he will place, but it's mostly at offshore books that accept his action. Spanky also runs a conference on sports betting this year being held at Circa in Las Vegas on August 8th through 12th. At BetBash, they will also launch the new Sports Betting Hall of Fame this year. He spoke with me from his home in New Jersey in June. My guest today is Spanky. If you don't know Spanky, it's not unusual. We're not talking about the little rascal Spanky. This Spanky is probably one of the most preeminent sports bettors in the country. He's very well respected, and he's got a show that he puts on every year called Bet Bash, and we're going to talk about that a little later. But before we get started with that, Spanky, can you give us some of your background and how you became a professional gambler?
Oh, thanks so much for having me on, Roger. Appreciate it. I was always fascinated by games and try to beat games growing up. Learned how to add with playing cards. My mother taught me basic addition subtraction with playing cards and used to play poker with my family at the age of six. And then I always wanted to just fascinated by beating games, and whether, you know, carnival games or anything of that matter. And then I kind of got into the blackjack thing. I read a lot of blackjack books, poker books, and then sports betting came later. You know, I was a losing sports bettor for years and years throughout my high school and early college. And then it kind of clicked. I bought a book called The Complete Book of Sports Betting by Jack Moore, which kind of turned everything upside down for me and kind of explained how to beat sports betting from a top down method instead of a bottom up. And the rest is history.
Yeah, that sounds great. So you've got a great team that analyzes the games and makes the bets. How did you put that team together?
Well, I started with my original partner, Sammy, and then we parted ways in 07. Then Chinese Mike came on with me. He grew up with Sammy. So, and then it just kind of, you know, we just put out ads there, you know, just a regular thing in which we'd recruit on websites, colleges. It's pretty interesting. You know, we're a sports betting company trying to recruit bettors or an injury team or whatever, and people kind of get intrigued with that. And we've been doing this for several years now. We're before regulated sports betting came to America, so you know, it was always something that piqued a lot of people's interests. But we kind of look for people. You know, we don't even require any sports knowledge for the most part. At least, you know, for the trading team, right. We're just looking for people that are more mathematically inclined, that are able to think on their feet, and that are able to, you know, just make decisions and to be able to think fast. Kind of the skill set we're looking for when it comes to hiring new talent.
Okay, great. So, what's the most lucrative sport to bet on?
For us, it's college basketball. Just because the sheer number of games, the bookmaker can't keep up. He has to make a line on every single college basketball game on a college basketball Saturday. There are, 100, 120, 130 games. You have a side, a total, and a money line on all those games. And you could bet those games in a full game or the first half. So there's a lot of betting options. And the bookmaker, they have to put up a number on every one of them. I, being a bettor, of course, my disadvantage is having to lay 110, laying 11 to 10. But my advantage is I get to choose with my sniper rifle which exactly bet that I'm going to be able to place. Right. And obviously the bookmaker, there's just too much ground to cover. And that's where we succeed the most.
Sure. You can find out whether the star of the team has a sore ankle or something like that, so they're not going to play that well.
Absolutely. And information is a big part of our, we have a whole injury team that focuses just on information discrepancies. And that focus, you know, it's all about getting the information first. And there's no such thing as insider trading in the sports betting environment. You know, if you know somebody, you know, we used to have a guy that used to, you know, work tickets at Madison Square Garden, and he would watch the shoot arounds. He was just a ticket guy, but he was part of our team. And if he saw somebody limping or something didn't look right, he'd give us a call and just let us know. That's just part of it. You know, sometimes a good towel boy, if you know one of those, you know, what I mean? Anything and everything. It's fair game. And you know, obviously we're never altering the outcome of the game. We'll never do so. That's unethical and illegal. Sure. But when it comes to just finding out information, and you know, in the pro level, you know, if a quarterback, professional quarterbacks, Aaron Rodgers sneezes wrong, the world's going to know about that. But on a college level, it's a lot, you know, the information doesn't travel that fast. So, and that's why that's another advantage, as you said, Roger.
Right. And plus, there's, as you mentioned, there's so many teams, and, you know, it goes down to, you know, such a granular level when it comes to all the small colleges, and then, you know, they have to post lines on them too, correct?
Absolutely. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of ground to cover. And again, it's tough. Every bookmaker, it's, you know, you ask any bookmaker, what's their least favorite sport to book? Most likely, most of them will answer college basketball, you know, so.
Yeah, that's a lot of work for them, obviously.
Yeah.
So I'm an amateur sports bettor. I like to play it, but you know, I lose more often than I win, as I think a lot of us amateurs happen. So how can an amateur bettor like me improve their winning percentage?
Well, I think, so just that we created a software, it's free currently, called Spank Odds, spankodds.com. And essentially that's just a lines comparison tool. And, you know, I think the best way to be able for any amateur, the first step you could take is just to shop around. Sure. So if you know you're going to bet a team, it's better to, you know, instead of only playing with one bookmaker, you know, have 10 different bookmakers and then look for the best price. Right. And then you'll be able, you know, by betting the best price in the market, that just decreases, you know, the bookmaker's hold on you, your theoretical hold. And you're able to, you know, lose a lot less. In the long run. You know, I'm not saying that you're going to become a winner doing that, but you'll definitely, you know, lose a lot slower.
Right. So how much has the online sports betting, legal online sports betting, changed the way you bet and the way bookmakers handle it?
So the regulated markets, since, you know, in the last several years, I've been pretty much kicked out of everywhere, unfortunately, Roger. So it really hasn't changed much for me. You know, most of my action is still bet primarily offshore. That being said, we still have a couple of places we bet into. And, you know, again, it's just unfortunate that I have to rely on beards. Beards is what we call, you know, guys that bet and in disguise, you know, pretending that they're betting for themselves, but I'm their partner. You know, compare that to a blackjack card counter or something like that. You know, there's no such thing as me, Spanky, going to a sports book and saying, "Hi, I'm Spanky. Would you book my action? They'll show me the door." However, if you have somebody that just looks like a regular guy and they're betting, that's a different story. And then if you could kind of relay that information to them, and then we could both share in the profits, that's the way to do it. So it's a cat and mouse game that you have to do. It's a shame that that's the case, but that's just the current environment as it stands.
Sure. So some of the legal bookmakers have changed their lines and changed their limits for people like you. Do you have any of those? How do you feel about that? I mean, that happens quite a bit now.
Oh yeah, it's ludicrous, to be honest. You know, some of these sports books, I literally can only bet, you know, $1.36. You know, and this is like unbelievable. Like, you know, it's just that they have an algorithm that they have where they decrease your limit so significant that you know, because I think some New Jersey lawyer, I'm in New Jersey, some of the laws in New Jersey saying you can't completely kick out a customer, but by limiting them to $1.36, you're essentially showing him the door, just not you know, in practical sense. So yeah, it's tough. You know, there's sports books. It's funny the way it is, Roger, that In any gambling in a casino, you could go to any casino and, you know, any table game, any slot machine, whatever, you always see the maximum and the minimum limits, you know, the minimum max. Sportsbooks, if you go to any sportsbook, they don't have those posted. Why? Yeah. Because they don't treat every customer the same way. So yeah, there's no guaranteed max, guaranteed minimum that you could always get. Because if you have a pulse to sign with some of these guys, they're going to treat you accordingly, and they're not going to, they're just going to show you the door. Yeah. And so that's sad. Circus Sports in Las Vegas is one of the few exceptions to that rule, where they actually have posted limits, right, and they'll give those limits to everybody. But they're one of the few, if any, other ones in currently in the regulated market that provide that.
Okay, great. So you mentioned you've been tossed out. Last year you told a story on your podcast about how Bally's refused to take your wager and really put you on the spot. How often does that happen? Why are they unfriendly to professional gamblers?
Because just like in any casino, no casino wants to revenue share with their customers, but that being said, I think a lot of them do not hire the proper talent to be able to utilize a sharp bettor's information and use it accordingly to be able to create more additional revenue for that sports book. You know, it takes a talented bookmaker. Bookmaking is an art form that, you know, and it's a dying art form. There's very few bookmakers left that know how to do it correctly to be able to utilize information from a sharp sports bettor to be able to, even though they'll be losing against that sports bettor, the house could make more money if the lines and odds were adjusted accordingly based on that sports bettor's information. And several bookmakers, I believe today, don't possess that talent to utilize that in a profitable way.
Okay, great. So let's talk about Bet Bash. What was the motivation for you to start that?
So the first Bet Bash took place in Jersey City in 2021, and this came off the tail end of the pandemic, and I didn't get to see many friends or I didn't get to interact with other sports bettors, and it was kind of an itch I needed to scratch and something that I wanted to do personally. So I wouldn't have any intention of making Bet Bash a profitable business. I just wanted to set up a sports betting conference because nobody else was doing it.
Right.
So yeah. I said, let's try this, and this could be like a proof of concept. 220 people showed up from all over the country, including Canada and overseas, from the UK. And it was just a one-night event in Jersey City, New Jersey, which that's where I was born and raised, believe it or not. So it was kind of a full circle for me coming back. Mayor Steve Phillip of Jersey City showed up. Senator Ray Lesniak was instrumental on providing regulated sports betting in the United States, made an appearance as well. And it was great. And then, you know, I realized that I'm not the only person, Roger, that wanted to interact. I'm not the only sports bettor that wanted to interact with other bettors and learn from each other.
Sure.
So that's when I said, okay, this could be a thing here, because there's nothing else like it. So I went over to Matt Metcalf, who was director of the sports book at Circa Sports, and Derek Stevens, who's the owner of Circa. And I said, I want to bring Bet Bash to Las Vegas and in the Circa. Both of them did not hesitate to welcome me with open arms and said, sure, we'd love to have you. And Bet Bash 2 happened last April. And that was a multi-day event. And, you know, the reviews are unbelievable through the charts. And now we have our third Bet Bash coming up this August, August 8th through the 11th at Circus Sports.
Okay, great. At last year's Bet Bash, you made the statement that sports betting providers are not your enemy. They can be your friends. You have to work together with them to make it lucrative for you and for them. How can that be true, really, when one side has to win and the other side has to lose?
Well, just like I said before, Roger, in the sense of if a bookmaker, a talented bookmaker, like some of my best friends are my bookmakers,
yeah,
in the offshore world, and I'll beat them, and I'll beat them consistently, yeah, but they're able to utilize my information to make more money. So yeah, if they pay me X, but they make X plus Y, why would they be upset? You know, yeah, a lot of these bookmakers today, the recreational sports books, their goal is to beat each and every single player. Yeah. And they think that's the idea. We have to beat and make money off every player directly. But they don't understand that it's okay for a certain number of players to beat you, to be able to make your line sharper, and then to be able to allow yourself to write more handle, write more business, and you might hold less, but you'd make more money. And again, right, this is the true and tried Las Vegas model that Scotty Shetler and Bob Martin have done in the 70s and 80s, and several offshore sports books like Pinnacle Sports and BetCris International. These are the models that they have employed, and now Circa Sports. So this is, you know, this can be done, and it's proven, except, you know, it takes some work. And you need talent, and a lot of those, I think a work ethic and the lack of talent and lack of work ethic are missing in today's environment.
Right. Okay, great. So tell us about this year's Bet Badge. You've had some great speakers in the past. Are you going to bring some of them back, or are you going to be focusing on new speakers?
So this year's Bet Bash, the capstone event of this year's Bet Bash, is we've created a Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. Okay. And the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame was an idea. Again, I saw it missing. You know, if I see something that's missing in my industry, I'm going to just create it. You know what I mean? I'm just, and again, I went to Derek Stevens and I said, listen, we need to have a physical location for this. Yeah. And Derek Stevens, you know, he's very big on preserving legacy. The Legacy Club on top of the Circa has busts of all the major creators of the Las Vegas landscape as we know it today. Right. And he's big on preserving that legacy forever. I wanted to do the same thing for sports gambling. So we will have a physical location inside the Circus Sportsbook for the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, where customers can just come in and learn about the Hall of Famers. I built a committee of 16 members who would nominate and vote on who would be in this initial class. And several members have been announced. One of the most prominent ones, of course, is the greatest sports bettor of all time, Billy Walters. And right, Billy Walters will be at Bet Bash, and I'll be conducting an interview with Billy Walters at Bet Bash that won't be televised anywhere. It'll just be for the attendees there. Excuse me, will be just there. It will just be for the attendees there. And I believe that I can ask Billy Walters some great questions from a sports bettor's perspective that others can't. So I think that's going to be a good time.
Yeah, no question. He's coming out with a new book, and he'll be appearing on all these TV talk shows. But they won't ask the same questions you will. I mean, you'll get down into the nitty gritty.
Yeah, I'm going to ask the questions that sports bettors want answered. I'm not into, you know, the drama and all the stuff that he's gone through. You know, that's not that's for other people to ask, or that's for him. I care about, you know, how he does it. You know, what's the secret? Like, how has he been the best for so long? And you know, in his book, he reveals a lot of his secrets. And he told me, he goes, everything I know about sports betting's in that book. I'm going to try to see if there's something he forgot to put in the book, and I'll try to get it out of him. Right. Billy Walters doesn't slip too often, if ever. Right. Let's see if I could get him to share some nuggets with us at Bet Bash.
Yeah. And I understand in the book, he also talks about his relationship with some of his famous bettors like Phil Mickelson and people like that.
Absolutely. Yeah, Billy Walters is notorious for flipping whales or turning, you know, sports bettors that are, you know, lifetime losers and turning them. We call it flipping whales, where, you know, the sports books think that, oh yeah, I'm booking this celebrity, and this celebrity is he doesn't know what he's doing. We'll give him as big limits as he wants. Little do they know that the person that's giving the celebrity, telling the celebrity which plays to play, is, you know, the biggest shark in the world, Billy Walters. Okay. I've implored, so that's because I've seen Billy do it. I too have implored that same strategy, we have a few of those on our team, just because, listen, he's the master. So if I could emulate the master and let it work for me, I'm going to do whatever he does. He's built the playbook. I just want to read it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you mentioned Derek Stevens. I've had him on the podcast several times in the past few years. He seems to really be friendly to professional sports bettors. Is that because he understands the relationship between the bookmaker and the sports bettor?
I think the most beautiful thing about Derek Stevens is he's one of us. He's a sports bettor. So Derek Stevens would tell the story when he would go out to Vegas, he would be at the Stardust, he would look at the numbers, he was pretty quick, he would run across the street to the Riviera, trying to get the best numbers. He understands how it is to be a player. And why would you deny that? You know, a lot of these other sports bookers say, just play with us. Circa, on the other hand, would publicly say, play with us, but shop around. And if we have the best number, play with us. Right. Yeah. You know what I mean? Other sports books would never recommend something like that. No, best number. What does that mean? Who cares what number is? The spread doesn't mean, just play with us. You know, we're the best. Yeah. Circa is not like that. Circa takes the stance of, listen, we don't want to be your only choice. We want to be one of your choices. Right. And if you could find the best price, or if you think, because that's what it is, you know, it's you're insulting your audience and you're insulting their intelligence, thinking that they only should play at one sports book. Like, come on. You know what I mean? It just doesn't make sense. So I think that Derek understands it as a bettor himself. And as a businessman, knowing that the customer comes first, like, you know, Roger, what other casino in Las Vegas today can the owner be seen on the casino floor every single night and you can walk up to him and shake his hand? Yeah. Is there any other casino besides the Circa? Day in and day out, he is completely, I can have a conversation with Derek and 20 people will come and he'll always say, hey, how are you? How are you? Shakes his hand because that's what he is. He brings the, and this used to happen 40 years ago, but way before my time, 50s, this is how Las Vegas is. And he, again, with that whole legacy thing, circling back to that, Derek doesn't forget that. And he understands that he wants to be there to meet his customers, to greet his customers, and he puts the customer first. And that's why I love being a part and partnering up with them for Bet Bash and the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. There's nobody else that's better than those guys.
Sure, sure. And he also, understand you have to be friendly to your customer and you have to be focused on your operation. And, you know, I asked him, what's next for Derek Stevens? He's going to build a place on the strip. And he said, well, I don't know. He said, all I'm going to worry about is, are we going to make money tonight? You know, and that's the way he is. So I can appreciate the way he is towards sports bettors.
Absolutely. He's one of a kind and a breath of fresh air, bringing Las Vegas back to what it was and what it should be, to be honest. Not this whole corporate conglomerate thing where it's just when the corporations took over, then that's when, everyone will say when the corporations took over, things went downhill. Yeah. It's not the old school way and again, that's just me. I don't know if anybody would say, oh, I love the corporate Vegas. I won't, but I'm not saying, theory or my opinion is the common opinion, but that's just what I believe.
Yeah, no question about it. So, I understand that I didn't see any of these, but I understand there's more than just sports betting at Bet Bash. You have sessions on other games and things like that.
We did last year. We're not doing that again this year. We had a blackjack seminar, a poker seminar, a horse racing seminar. I just wanted to kind of spread it out a little bit to try to attract some interest from different genres of professional gambling. But I think we wanted to, we kind of spread ourselves too thin a little bit. And I think this year now we're going back to basics and just concentrating on just sports betting.
Okay, great. Good to know. So how can someone sign up for Bet Bash? And what's the cost?
Tickets are on sale at betbash.co. It's a multi-day event. It runs August 8th through the 11th. We have depending if you get a VIP ticket, 5 open bars. Okay. We have different events. We have a scavenger hunt event where there's cash prizes. We have food. We have a watch party with food, different food from all the caterers in Las Vegas at Stadium Swim and at the Circus Sportsbook. We have expert panels, and one of those panels is going to be me interviewing Billy Walters, but there's going to be other really insightful panels. We take great pride. Matt Metcalf is the one who's in charge of building these panels with my support, and he does a great job with that. We have a speed networking event where essentially all attendees will be able to have 15 5-minute meetings with other attendees based on a preference questionnaire that they filled out to be able to, again, create synergies and to be able to help each other out and become better sports bettors. And of course, last but not least, the capstone event of Bet Bash is going to be the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame, beautiful 4-course dinner at the Circa, with the 10 inductees being honored, followed by a VIP cocktail party up at the Legacy Club. So it's going to be great. It's going to be such a great time. And I'm super excited with this inaugural class for the Sports Gambling Hall of Fame. Can't come any quicker, man.
Okay. So I saw some young guys and gals actually at Bet Bash last year who seemed to be just getting into the business. So how difficult is it to become a professional sports bettor?
In this day and age, honestly, Roger, I think it's close to impossible. professional meaning this is your sole income. Yeah. That being said, can you make money betting sports? I think it's pretty easy. But yeah. Can you make, you know, scalability, scaling to a professional's level, can you make 5 figures betting sports? Probably. Can you make 6? It's a lot harder. Can you make 7? It's really a lot harder. Can you make 8 figures? You know, that's when you're at the pinnacle, right? Like, it's not easy, but you have to start somewhere. And the beautiful thing about Bet Bash, Roger, is that you have the best of the best. And you have recreational guys, and they all interact with each other, and they all are teach. Some are mentors, some are learning, and nobody's a jerk. Nobody comes off as unapproachable. You know, Billy Walters, I told Billy, I said, you know, Billy, there's going to be a lot of people that want to shake your hand at Bet Bash. And his response was, and I'm going to want to shake their hand, Spanky. And that's how he is. Very approachable. He wants to meet other professional sports bettors because we're all in the same, we're cut from the same cloth. We like to bet sports. You know what I mean? This isn't one of those conferences that's an industry conference where a lot of, all the operators meet together and they do a circle jerk. No, this is bettors. And that's why I welcome all operators to come face and meet your clients, meet your customers, have conversations with them. They're going to give you constructive criticism. They'll tell you things they love about your operation. They'll tell you things that you need to improve. And what better way to do so than at face to face, especially in a world where everything is completely electronic and everything is chats and messages and emails. There's nothing better, and at least for me, Roger, and you're an old school guy, than a face to face interaction. And you were at Bet Bash last year, and I know you enjoyed several of your interactions, and everybody did. It's second to none to be able to have that personal connection.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And the emphasis you put on the operators should be there. And I second that very strongly, because they will learn more at your conference than they will at G2E, I think, because they'll see exactly what they need to do to gain the play of those sports bettors.
Absolutely. And it's not all professionals. There's a lot. It's the gamut, the range of sports bettors is all different types. And I just believe that if I was an operator, I would love to be able to go to a sports betting conference where I could meet my customers. It makes sense.
Yeah, no question. Well, Spanky, thanks for joining us today on GGB Podcast. I'm sure the Bet Bash this year will be fantastic. I'm hoping to be there and spend a little more time than I did last year, because there's so much to offer. So thanks for taking the time, and good luck with this year's Bet Bash.
Thank you so much for having me, Roger. Can't wait to see you at Bet Bash.
Great. Same with you.
Thank you, buddy.
Thanks for joining us on the GGB Podcast, sponsored by Pavilion Payments, the industry's leading cashless payment provider. To learn more about the topics discussed today and all the important issues in gaming, check out Global Gaming Business Magazine. For a free virtual copy of the magazine, subscribe at ggbmagazine.com. To stay current with the weekly news of the gaming industry, subscribe to ggbnews.com. Use the coupon code GGB180 for a free subscription. Don't miss a single episode of the GGB Podcast. Subscribe on Amazon, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts today. So we'll see you next time on the GGB Podcast.